The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
This is one game away from being NBA champ, being in the history of this game, being always there.
The spin move, the finish!
Giannis Antetokounmpo with one of the most iconic performances in the storied history of the NBA Finals.
And the slam from Antetokounmpo!
The long wait has ended after a half century. The Milwaukee Bucks are NBA champions once again.
I'm at the top.
I wanted to do it here in the city. I wanted to do it with these guys. Did it.
He's Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We get a people. What they want.
Last night, game six of the NBA Finals, behind a dominant 50-point performance from Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Milwaukee Bucks are now the champions of the NBA. Jalen Rose, what did you think about this historic performance from Giannis?
I'm glad you mentioned the term historic, because let me take you back to where this started. 2013, the Milwaukee Bucks are in the playoffs. Young Buck, Brandon Jennings says, Bucks in six as they're about to play the Miami Heat. They get swept that series. He gets traded that offseason to my Detroit Pistons. You know what else they did that offseason? They drafted Giannis in June and acquired Middleton in July. In that season, they were 15-67. They needed to win 16 games in this year's playoffs in order to win the championship. So to talk about a maturation of two guys on a team that found a way to endure the turbulence and to achieve their ultimate goal. And for Giannis, you alluded to it, did it in so many different facets. And we're here to make sure we break it down for you every way. First off, let's talk about points in the paint and not settling. Came back game one, he was a game time decision. We didn't know he was gonna play. Game two and three, back to back 40s and 10. Game four, signature block on Ayton. Game five, signature alley-oop from Drew Holiday. And game six, historic performance. The points, the rebounds, the assists. And please, 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 before I get to the free throws, let's show some of those blocks. He was standing underneath the rim, and it reminded me of watching Kareem footage and or Wilt footage when they were guarding a guy and he would shoot and they would block the guy that they were guarding. Just block him right in front of the hoop. And not only did he block five or six shots, I don't know what the stat said, he contested, changed, and goaltended maybe like another five shots. His effort was something that I had not seen. He gave everything that he had. He was dead tired so many times. I saw him slump over, hold his shorts because he wanted it so very bad. And in the post game, he acknowledged something that we are going to talk about as this offseason and next season progress. That all rings aren't created equal. In today's landscape of players controlling their narrative, and I love that, whether it's with their voices or social media, they get to do that, we get to do that. But you know what you don't get to do? Tell the fans and the media how to feel about it. And there's something to be said for how Dirk was able to get it done with the Dallas Mavs.
Well, Jalen,
he alluded to that at the post-game press conference.
Let's listen to Giannis Antetokounmpo after winning the championship.
This is my city, you know, they trust me, they believed in me, they believed in us. Even when we were like, we were lost, the city still was like on our side. And, you know, obviously I wanted to get the job done. you know, but that's my stubborn side. Like, it's easy to go somewhere and go and win a championship with somebody else. It's easy. I could go, I don't want to put anybody in the spot, but I could go to a super team and, you know, just do my part and win a championship, still won. But this is the hard way to do it, and this is the way. And we did it. We did it, man.
You can tell it just hits different. It hits different when you do it that way. When you stick with one team and you don't join other superstars, you mentioned Dirk and you mentioned the Heat. How do you think that this particular title compares?
You acknowledged it. It's one thing to come from fans and media. It's another thing to come from the only player besides Hakeem Olajuwon and Michael Jordan to be Finals MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, and regular season MVP in Giannis Antetokounmpo. And here are a couple of buzzwords that he used. My city. He said it was easy to team hop. He said, I wouldn't join a super team because all I have to do is just basically play a role and I could get a ring. And he owned it. And like I told you going into the season, one of the more brilliant things that Giannis did is he re-signed with the team. So now that takes pressure off of Coach Bud, who was under the hot seat if they didn't get to the finals or win a championship. But it also takes pressure off Chris Middleton. It allows him now to be the closer. That's the chess move that the Milwaukee Bucks employed this entire season that they hadn't done in the past. And for Giannis, he said it again. That's basically LeBron going to Miami. It's basically KD going to the Warriors and him saying, well, I watched the journey of somebody like Dirk, who did it with one team, or Tim Duncan, Kobe Bryant. There are players who were fortunate enough to do it. Now, it's still about getting it done, but don't underestimate this, the my city part, the my city part. Kevin Durant was at a parade, and his general manager, Bob Myers, even made a joke about basically him not being there when they built it. This is not coming from me. This is exactly how it went down. And as we saw that transpire, we knew that that would always be Steph Curry's city, along with Klay Thompson, Draymond Green. So in my opinion, that was part of the impetus for KD saying, I want to go somewhere else and establish that I can win a championship, in this case, with the Nets, something that he's hoping to achieve with James Harden and Kyrie Irving on the squad.
Well, watching Giannis last night, you could see that he woke up that morning and he said, I will not be denied. And one thing that you mentioned were the free throws. That was one of the things that was so shocking about his performance. We knew he could dominate in the paint. We knew he could block shots. But I did not know that he could go 17 for 19 from the free throw line. And it's also, it's not just what you do, it's how you do it. He stepped up to the line. He was confident. He was shooting it in about 7 or 8 seconds. He woke up that morning and said, I'm going to go to sleep smelling like champagne, holding the finals MVP and the Larry O'Brien trophy. And Jalen, what do you think about the free throw performance from him last night?
I think he's a perfect example of why free throws are about repetition, muscle memory, and confidence. Because he isn't vastly changed as a shooter from the last series to this series, but you alluded to it. He just took his time, he lived in the moment, and he took advantage of it. And watching him be so very dominant, to be honest, it gave me flashbacks to the early 2000s, because we hadn't seen a player be so dominant in the paint as a big man in theory like Giannis. He had 20 points in the third quarter. He had two 20-point third quarters in this series. He had three games above 40. He had one game with 50. He had so many different blocks. And so I was like, man, that reminded me of how Shaq was. And it made me want to call Dale Davis and apologize to him, because I felt so bad watching the big fella turn and hit him with elbows. And there's nothing you can do when those big guys decide that they want to play in the paint. It's a perimeter-oriented game. And the wings definitely drive the narrative, whether it's a Michael Jordan or a LeBron James. However, in basketball, when you have a dominant big man that's going to play percentage basket or a foul type basketball, that's what Giannis decided to do. And he was unguardable. And you know what else he did? Silence DeAndre Ayton. That's the other thing that Giannis was able to do. Defensively, he virtually made Ayton a non-factor. So now for the Suns, you don't have that balance to go with CP3, even if he did get going at some point in the second half. Devin Booker only had 4 points in the first half. He never got going offensively. They could have used Ayton's offense, but when the Suns are at their best, Jacoby, it's the Cams, Payne playing with speed and scoring the ball like he was able to do, or Johnson making threes, or Mikal Bridges, Jay Crowder. It's strength in numbers usually when they're at their best. The Bucks did a great job of not allowing them to do so. And lastly, Drew Holiday. He guarded anybody that made two shots in a row. It's like, whoever make two shots in a row, put Drew Holiday on him. Did you see how he was sticking to Devin Booker? He stripped them twice. That's extremely hard to do. You know this, Jacoby, you play ball. How many times do you see somebody just in the open floor that got game like Devin Booker just get snatched? That's what Drew Holiday was able to do. So it was a terrific defensive effort by the Milwaukee Bucks.
It really was. I mean, Drew Holiday has been so good defensively throughout this entire series that we're all going to celebrate Giannis. And of course, we should. He put up 50 points with 17 for 19 from the line, had 5 blocks. He was amazing. But it was Drew Holiday's defense which kind of turned this series in game 3 and game 4. And you also alluded to something earlier that I want to talk about. That is the Middleton and Giannis pairing. These two have played together for so long. And it was during the celebration, when the confetti was flying from the ceiling, there was a moment when they just sort of looked at each other like, we did it. And I want to share that moment with you right now from the postgame.
Chris, you did it, huh? You did it.
It's that joy. The joy, they're like, we finally did it after 8 years, after winning 15 games together in our first year, to winning the championship. And that partnership is something that is a lot discussed about, how Middleton's the closer, Middleton's clutch. What do you think about that moment, watching those two finally reach the mountaintop?
It was terrific to watch in sports. And also, they knew they missed something. So they brought in some toughness and defense in PJ Tucker and Bobby Portis. Pat Connaughton made shots, who was filling in for Dante DiVincenzo. But those two guys were the catalyst. And so many times, if the Bucks had the best record in the regular season, or Giannis was winning back-to-back MVPs, the question was, could he do it with Middleton as the second best player? That was the question also that people were asking. And he silenced that easily by his efficiency, his patience offensively, and his nature to be clutch. Even in the closeout game, they needed him to put a couple of buckets in the hoop in order to finish off the Suns, and he delivered.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because we'll all celebrate Giannis. We'll remember this as the Bucks title led by Giannis and Middleton and Drew Holiday's defense. But the Suns had some chances at the end of this game. There was an open three from CP3, an open three from Crowder, an open three from Booker. They had chances in the waning seconds of this game. But this is all about the Bucks, their first championship in 50 years since the Big O and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. But Jalen, while we celebrate Giannis, we'll continue to do so. We do have to talk about what this means for the Suns, what this means for Chris Paul, what is next for the Suns, what should they expect next season, and will Chris Paul opt out? We'll discuss that right after this. You are watching a championship celebration on Jalen and Jacoby.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
My name is Yantel Lukumbo.
Doesn't matter where you start at.
I want to be an NBA player.
It only matters where your heart's at.
I'm going to do whatever it takes to help my team win, and I'm going to win the MVP.
Make the impossible doable. I just want you to know you could be far from the usual. Anything you want, you can get it. Chase your dreams like you really can't lose. All you got to do is get it.
My goal is to win a championship, and we're going to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
So follow your dream.
Coming to you live above the Heineken River Deck here in New York City. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Anthony Rose. In every finals, when it's over, there's a champion. And I've always said there's nothing wrong with coming in second place. So we're going to check in with Chris Paul, the leader of the Suns, who came in second place, and see where his head is at after the confetti fell.
Is there any solace in, hey, I've had this experience, no, and I can learn from it, and I might get back here?
It'll take a while to process this or whatnot, but it's the same mentality. Get back to work. You know what I mean? I ain't retiring, if that's what you're asking. That's out. So, you know, back to work.
So, Jalen, he's not retiring. He can opt out of his contract. He could re-sign with the Suns. He could go somewhere else. What do you think this finals loss means for CP3 and his future in the league?
As an NBA stan, I couldn't lose either way, because whether Giannis won the championship and his ascension as a 26-year-old or CP3 won the championship in his 16th season, I would have been very happy to see both of those guys win that opportunity. Unfortunately for CP3, the Bucks were just better and more dominant in the paint. The Suns outplayed expectations. There is not a person that can say they picked the Phoenix Suns to win a championship this year. You know? And so, as they ascended in the Western Conference as a team that didn't make the playoffs last year, you add CP, you add Crowder. Shout out to Monty Williams, who was my coach of the year. He did an amazing job developing Ayton and Bridges and both Cams, Payne and Johnson. CP3 was fourth on my ballot in the MVP race. And so for them to be there was incredible to me. So there's no shame for me as it relates to CP3 losing to the Bucks, a squad that's been knocking on the door the last couple of years. The Suns just came up short, getting in the finals for their first time since 1993. They didn't win it all, but they did win a championship. The Western Conference Championship.
So, Jalen, what do you think CP3 does now with the opportunity to opt out? Does he re-sign with the Suns? Does he test the market? What do you think?
I definitely think he should opt out. It's a great opportunity for him to get another check. He's shown that he can still play at an elite level. And so, if I'm the Suns, I find a way to re-sign him. They're going to lose Willie Green, who's going to do a terrific job coaching the Pelicans, so they'll have to do an adjustment on their staff. It's interesting to see what happens with Mark Bryan on their staff. Does he get elevated within? Does he go to the Pelicans? So there are a lot of inner workings that are going to happen within the Suns. But the overarching thing is I would love to see CP return to Phoenix, team up with Devin Booker again, and continue to build on what they've started.
Devin Booker did not play well in Game 6. I'm sure he would tell you that. However, Devin Booker had a pair of 40-point games in the NBA Finals. He's 24 years old. He's a pure scorer. What do you think about this experience for Booker and his future with Phoenix?
This was his first postseason. You're going to see so many stats of players and the points that they scored in their first postseason, and Devin Booker's going to be attached. Here's a guy that led his squad in the bubble to an 8-0 record. And how about this? He's already had a 70-point game in his career. He's had a 59-point game in his career. And now he's been to the NBA Finals. So he's just going to continue to build off of this. And he showed the world that he's an amazing shot maker. You see those actions right there? Whether it's catching it off the dribble, whether it's doing it in transition, doing it with his back to the basket, boxes and elbow style, he's going to be a prolific scorer for years to come.
As much as we love this Suns run, we celebrate CP3, we want him to return, and Booker's got such a bright future. When you look at the Western Conference, there was sort of a feeling that this was kind of their opportunity. Because if you look up and down the Western Conference, you have the LA teams, the Warriors reloaded, Luka getting better. Who knows what happens with Portland? The Jazz are great. What do you think this is sort of their one opportunity in this window to get a championship with how stacked that conference is?
Yes, I do. I think for CP3, as well as the Suns, and it's based on being in the West. The LA teams haven't played each other in the playoffs since they put their big duos together. Hopefully that eventually happens. They'll be there. You mentioned Denver, they'll get Jamal back, who the Suns beat without Murray this year. The Utah Jazz were flirting with the best record in the league all year. Hopefully Klay Thompson returns for the Warriors and you get the Splash Brothers back. So it's gonna be great theater in the Western Conference for years to come. And they're great young teams like Memphis and Ja Morant and Luka and the Dallas Mavs. And so this journey is going to get a lot tougher if you're trying to win the West.
We have a lot more to discuss. Stay tuned. You are watching Jalen and Jacoby. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. What a season. What a finish to the season in Milwaukee with the confetti falling from the ceiling. Jalen, you were there outside in the Deer District. What did it feel like to celebrate with Milwaukee?
It was awesome to see Giannis bloom where he was planted and Middleton develop into a clutch performer and Drew Holiday get this celebration and the respect that he deserves. Shout out to the city of Milwaukee. Your first championship in 50 years.
We'll be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. We always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is doing podcast exclusive content for our podcast listeners. Now, Jalen, outside of the confines of the television show, I want to discuss what happened last night in the NBA Finals. And a couple things we didn't get to. Number one, a gentleman by the name of Bobby Portis, after the game was over, during the ceremony, they called him over to the microphone and he explained that his team last year left him out of the bubble roster, wasn't even invited to the bubble, had to go home, work out, spend time with his family, get his mind right. It's picked up by the Bucks, becomes a favorite of the home crowd and performs the way he did. What do you think about Portis last night in this series?
Like I told you, David Jacoby, of course, everybody hopes to be an all-time great and a champion and accomplish individual goals and accolades. But one of the greatest things that you can be called, ask PJ Tucker, ask Bobby Portis, veteran, because that gives you a chance to reinvent yourself. And the ability to reinvent yourself is a life skill. It's not just about basketball. Whatever trade that you choose to work in, whatever field you desire to achieve for your goals, you're gonna have to continue to reinvent yourself if you're gonna have staying power. And I've seen Bobby Portis have a lot of different phases of his career. He's overcome getting into an altercation with a teammate and sucker punching him early in his career. He was young, we do dumb things, it happens. He's overcome bouncing around from a couple of teams, but you know what he did do? He kept working on his game. And the one thing he could always do, he could always post up and score around the basket. The game-changing thing he brought to Milwaukee, he was third in the league at three-point percentage. Mm. So for a guy his size, and he's heavier than he looks. And what I mean by that is, he puts you on his hip. He can control you offensively and turn the shoot over you. That's why he got kind of a good post game. And so they needed him up front because Giannis needed to play more minutes at the five. Yep. That allows him to slide in the minutes at the four. And he can now play against the other perimeter players, in particular for the Phoenix Suns. So I'm happy for him. I'm happy for PJ Tucker, a guy that played with James Harden in Houston And I remember that, James, I remember the game when Harden returned to play. I remember when Harden, as a member of the Nets, returned to play against the Rockets. And I had Demetrius put a play on the show where James drove to the basket and PJ was about to take a charge. He turned around and moved his body like a turnstile. He like, no, I'm saving these hits because I know that this ain't my future. And then he got an opportunity to leave. He didn't go to the Nets. He didn't end up with the Sixers. He ended up with the Bucks. And he became a game-changing player. Another veteran just like Drew Holiday.
Mm-hmm.
For those who have been paying attention to the league, Drew Holiday is a straitjacket for any guards that are smaller than him, for sure. For sure. He's like a linebacker playing guard. That's how he's built. He's sort of ambidextrous, the way he can score with his left hand, pass with his left hand. So now those guys, Jacoby, they're not just reaching and blocking with one hand. See, non-defenders like me, I'm only reaching and blocking with my left hand. And if somebody hit it against my right hand, it's an accident. Like, he all over you. And so I like seeing those guys get rewarded. And also, I want to put Chris Middleton in this category. Because, you know, I saw him play as a Piston. And he was drafted in the second round. And let me give y'all some game. I said this about the Spurs when they were winning championships with Tim Duncan. Do you realize that the Milwaukee Bucks have one player on their team that was drafted in the lottery?
Yep.
And that player was Brook Lopez.
Who had a great sequence last night. He had a great sequence last night. That one little run in the second quarter, we got a dunk and a hook. Brook Lopez had his game six moment.
Well, I'm gonna take you deeper into the box score. He had a couple of really good sequences for the Phoenix Suns defensively too. When he fell asleep and gave away a couple of open threes, Coach Bud called timeout, had to get him out of there fast. Right, literally after the plays that you're talking about. And so again, Brook Lopez, a guy, started out early in his career, playing below the free throw line, primarily offensively, a 20-point scorer that could face up and knock down 18-footers, reinvented his game to be a three-point shooter that could spread the floor and now play alongside a guy like Giannis. So the Milwaukee Bucks did a terrific job of identifying players to go alongside Giannis. And here's the genius of Giannis. He re-signed before the season. That was the genius of Giannis. Everybody, hey, Jalen Rose, what do you think was the difference between the Bucks winning it this year? It's that Giannis already re-signed. He took the pressure off of them. He took the pressure off of the organization. He took the pressure off of Bud. He took the pressure off of Bud. He took the pressure off of Middleton. So now you can start giving guys their roles and they fall into them because your leader is invested. And so all of these things matter when the game gets close. And yeah, the Nets had injuries, and if Kyrie hadn't gotten hurt, I would have picked the Nets to win. But like I told you, as the season started to progress, if I needed to bet on the West, I would take the field versus the Lakers. I said the same thing with the Nets. It's just hard. It was hard for me to see them as a collective big three only play 10 games together, but then win 16 games in the playoffs. They'll be better next year. They'll have a full offseason. They're the favorites to win it next year, but now it's about celebrating Milwaukee.
Yeah, I mean, it really is about celebrating Milwaukee today, and specifically Giannis. It's just, you remember they were down 0-2 to the Nets in that series, and everyone was talking about how Giannis can't shoot free throws, and he can't shoot jump shots. He's so broken. He's a broken superstar. And everyone said Coach Bud doesn't know how to make adjustments. And Coach Bud was basically fired when they were down 0-2. Basically fired when they were down 0-2 to the Nets. Well, look at us now. Now it's Giannis and Coach Bud hugging each other under the confetti, saying they're going to run it back. And I'm so excited for this team. And again, this is a no-lose prospect in the finals because you got CP3 on the other side and you got Giannis on this side. And if you are CP3, there's an interesting proposal for him to opt out of his contract and sign like a nice two plus one deal with the Suns and run it back with this core. That's how I imagine that happens with him. How do you think it goes?
I think if you CP3, you stay loyal to the Suns, because here's what he doesn't now, in my opinion, want to be. A player at this point of his career that's still bouncing around. If you look back at CP3's journey, he going to the Hall of Fame, right? But are any of those teams going to retire his number that he played for?
If any of them would, it'd be the Clippers. That'd be the closest, but I don't think so.
And usually you can't say that about a Hall of Famer, right?
No.
And so I believe if you're CP3, you continue to nurture the young roster that you have, continue to grow with Devin Booker. You don't now go from Houston, Oklahoma City. You don't go from Houston to the you don't go from the Clippers to Houston to Oklahoma City to the Suns, and now say to, I mean, he will look good in the Pistons uniform, but if he might, other than that, he might as well stay in Phoenix.
Well, one thing, as you know, I'm a mentally weak basketball player, right? Mentally weak. Like, they talk about mentally strong basketball players. Like, if I miss a couple shots, I start overthinking stuff, and then I'll miss the next shot, and then I stop shooting, and then my teammates get mad at me because I'm passing up layups. And that's, I'm not going to call DeAndre Ayton mentally weak, but I feel like last night he missed a couple easy ones early, got a little tentative, got scored on a lot. And I just feel like he just kind of got in his own head and didn't perform the way with the confidence that he was earlier in this series and earlier in the playoffs. Do you think that's fair to say?
After game two, I came on this very popular podcast. Shout out to everybody that's been supporting us for 10 years. We take pride in giving the people what they want. Reg the Ledge on the one and twos. I told you that Giannis hit DeAndre Ayton with a forearm shiver that gave him a standing A count. And at that point, Giannis started to have his way. And I gave you the example. You said, can Giannis keep this up, these back-to-back 40s? I said, he's going to continue to get stronger like a running game in football. And that's what happened. He started to steamroll. And it was a good game, ebb and flow. I'm talking about score-wise. Both teams were struggling in the first half, high turnovers, low field goal percentages. But in the third quarter, Giannis decided to play bully ball. He just played bully ball. It was like, okay, it's Saturday morning, it's windy outside, 10 people got next. I'm doing what I gotta do to stay on the court. That's what Magic used to do. I played rec ball against Irvin Magic Johnson. And you know what he does? Magic man, up top. Magic man, you breathe on him. Point, Magic man, up top, until he gets a basket or a foul. That's how Giannis was playing.
But it was also the fact that he could make his free throws. I think that gave him the confidence to play like that. Like, you're watching the game, and Giannis has an open layup, and Chris Paul will foul. Remember, he came from the weak side and fouled him on that alley-oop and fouled him on the ground or whatever. Like, there's like, oh, good play, good play. There's another play where he caught it down low and they fouled him. Like, oh, good play, good foul. But he was just calmly walking to the line and knocking both of them down. And if he's doing that, it's like, there's just nothing you can do. Like, there's absolutely nothing you can do when Giannis is making his free throws. It was such an amazing game. And, you know, someone else who needs to be celebrated.
Who's that?
Jalen Anthony Rose. You're on the road for the finals, you know, traveling everywhere, going to Vegas for your daughter's birthday, driving, taking $1,300 Ubers, you know. So
thank you, brother.
You've got a lot of plans for this offseason. I feel like your offseason is going to be more tiring than your on season.
Correct. I mean, even just last night, family. And I appreciate the acknowledgement. You know, I love what I do. I love who I do it with. And it doesn't seem like work. Last night's game, you know, ends 11-12. You clearly don't get through 100,000 people in 5 minutes to get back to a hotel after they won a championship. And this was my 19th consecutive year being present when a team won a championship. The only team that I wasn't is last year in the bubble. And so I've seen San Antonio, I've seen the Lakers, I've seen the Heat, I've seen all of the like different promotions. I've seen strength in numbers for the Golden State Warriors. I crowd surfed in Toronto. But I'll tell you this, it's always more special when none of the players have ever won a championship. And that's what happened in this series. And the Phoenix Suns franchise has never won a championship. The Bucks had one in 1971. And so what I saw in game seven, these dudes were playing so hard, it was a rock fight in the first half. They couldn't make a shot.
Yeah.
They couldn't make a shot. But they was playing hard. They turned the ball over. They was playing hard. But the difference, clearly, bully ball, Giannis.
So when you look down from your perch at NBA Countdown at the Deer District, was everybody 6 feet apart and wearing masks?
So what had happened was, you don't just enter the Deer District, as Jacoby points out. Ain't no way around 65,000 people. Ain't nowhere, I don't care if you're in New York City, I don't care if you're in Paris, ain't nowhere around 65,000 people. So yes, vaccinated and all, I was shaking hands and kissing babies. You could probably go online right now, see me taking selfies, see me jumping in the back of people pictures, photobombing. I was having a great time. And I understand what you're saying about people wearing masks and it being a super spreader event, because it was. Because it was. It truly was. 90, I ain't gonna give a number, but most people weren't wearing masks.
Yeah,
right. Well, most people weren't wearing masks.
I'm sure they're having a good time and I hope everybody's healthy. That's
right.
All I gotta say about that.
But you know, like early in the pandemic, this is how I know like my audience and my public appreciates and love me, and I'm forever grateful. I had so many people that would come up to me like, this is at the height of the pandemic, and they would assume that I would take a picture with them and take off my mask. Like, I don't know you like that, dog.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, no. Not gonna be
able to do it. I remember standing 6 feet away and taking pictures with people. Like, yeah. Like being in the background of the selfie,
right.
Being 6
right.
feet away. It sounded like the height of the pandemic. For real. So what do we have for the offseason plans? You're going to follow Shohei. You're going to go to Seattle. You're going to come to New York for the draft. You're going to spend as much time in Miami with your toes in the sand as possible. What else do we do? I'll go to Drew League.
Family. I'm the Donna Summer of the game. I just look good. I work hard for the money. The season ain't even over for me yet. I'm doing the draft on the 29th. So what's next? This afternoon, I'm about to start doing some intense studying of 100 players as I cover the first round of this year's draft, and I come up with terms to define the first 30 potential picks, because this year, for the first time, the draft will be on ABC and ESPN. And Monday and Tuesday, I'm doing an appearance on The Talk. I'll be on there Monday and Tuesday. I'm going to Cali to be on the show for those couple of days. And then I'm coming to the East Coast to break bread with my brother Jacoby and work the draft. And then I'm staying there, and I ain't leaving there until I see the locks. I'm staying there, and
yeah.
I ain't leaving there until I see Dipset, Dipset, Dipset. So you already know what it is.
I'm going to be there. I'm going. I'm going with it without you. I'm going to that. I'm going to that. I don't care what it is. I'll buy a ticket in the upper rafters. There's a catwalk you can buy tickets on. Literally, like, up, like a catwalk over the court. I'll stand there. I'm gonna be in that building. You know I don't like loud music and big crowds, but I can't
know,
miss
that.
I
know, that's why I'm surprised.
Have you seen the back and forth on social? I'm concerned. I can't tell if they're promoting a fight or if they're like being serious on social. What's going on there?
They just promoting it. Jim Jones and Styles are really the ones talking. If you notice, Cam and Jada not doing too much talking. J- Juel Santana and Styles, Juel Santana and Sheik Luch always find a way to be the silent killers in the back. They're just promoting the fight, dog. They're getting their Floyd Mayweather on. Them dudes love
each
other.
That's what it seems like. But I got a little concerned. I was like, yeah, I thought it was going to be like a celebration in New York.
Those two groups love each other. And I'm just happy that they've had the movements that they've had along with Wu-Tang to help give a birth to groups like Griselda. Shout out to Benny the Butcher, West Side Gun, Conway the Machine.
Bars. Absolute bars. We always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is hearing from the people. We love getting the voicemails. It's my favorite part of the show every single day. We love to hear from the podcast listeners. So if you call 985-80-JALEN, you can leave us a voicemail. We'll put it on the show just like this.
What's going on, Jalen and Jacoby? This is Mayfield calling out of Virginia by way of Brooklyn, New York. I got a soft move or boss move. I got a friend who's 6'5", and we play pickup basketball every Saturday and Sunday, and he doesn't want to play the center. He's the tallest dude in our group, and for some reason he keeps telling us that he used to be the shortest kid in his class. But I've known him for 20 years, and these last 20 years he's still been 6'4", 6'5". You know, and he's always complaining about getting down in the paint. Another question I have is, why is it that I'm in Virginia and all these basketball courts are empty? When I was up top in Brooklyn, you couldn't find a court that didn't have people on it. But I'm not going to hold y'all up. Keep giving the people what they want. Shout out to Rez the Ledge. Jalen, I'm sorry about your mother passing. You know, mothers are very important. Give a shout out to my mother, Ernestine. And I like the name David and Jacoby. Shout out to all the past shows. I've been listening for a while. You know, Bedbug, Threesome, everybody else. All right, y'all. Take it easy.
Dope caller. Appreciate the love.
Big shout out to Mayfield, New Jersey, by way of Brooklyn. He's talking about pickup basketball, so obviously I'm going to take this one. I believe he was saying that a 6'4 player doesn't want to play around the basket. And I understand that, because I'm going to take a phrase from Jalen Rose. Sounds like work. Sounds like work to play around the basket.
It's dressed in overalls. It sounds physical.
It sounds like work. You got to bump into people. You know, you don't always get the ball. You got to position for rebounds. You know, it just sounds like work. It's not fun. It's not pretty. You're not crossing people over and hitting jump shots and putting it on the gram. You're just doing up and unders and jump hooks and drop steps and spin baseline. I get it, man. But I feel like height is one thing and game is something else. Because then you can be 6'4 and have the best crossover in the world, but you can also be 5'8 and have the best post up in the world. So to me, height doesn't equate, shouldn't tell you what your game is. But I like to play down low because I'm slow. And I like slow, not even slow running, but like slow twitch muscles too. So I love to bang it up around the basket. And also, I've noticed this too. It's not only courts being empty, it's like beautiful courts being empty. That's the part that bothers me. Like when I live in LA, there'll be like a court by the beach, you know? Or like it's like got a nice backstop and it's painted well. Like I said, and it's also like in a populous neighborhood too. Like I went to Long Island, there's a court in the middle of nowhere. I'm like, well, no one's gonna play that. No one's gonna travel to it. But like, I don't understand when there's a court in the middle of an apartment complex and no one plays there. I love to play basketball. And you're right, in New York City, the courts are always full. Always full. And that's one thing I love about this city. Mr. Rose, your thoughts?
I love New York City basketball scene as well. That's another that's another thing we said we were going to do this all season, actually. Go check out a game at Dykeman. Go check out a game at the Rucker. Didn't you say you wanted to do that?
Let's go. Oh, yeah, I got that. Let's go.
Maybe we should do that when I'm there between the draft and Dipset or after. Either
Let's
way.
Easy.
So you are your skill set. And I had a debate one time with a gentleman in media that averaged 1.4 points as a junior in high school. And I told him that you are your skill set. Just because you're a shooting guard, that don't mean that you're raining threes. Just because you're a quote-unquote power forward, that don't mean that you got muscles. You know, that doesn't mean that you're muscle-bound. And so for this 6'4" player, I'll ask you, and please call us back and let us know. does he have the skills to play inside, or is he just tall? Those are two different things. Because me, being a perimeter player primarily in my career, and shout to my high school coach Perry Watson, who got on the plane from Florida to make sure he was in the building to support Willie Green, a guy he coached at the University of Detroit, understanding that it may be his final game with the Suns as he's about to get the head coaching job with the Pelicans. I love you, Coach.
Coach Watson was in the game yesterday?
Yeah, he flew in, dog. And let me tell you what's crazy. He didn't land because he had some stuff to do. He didn't land to like 4:30. He got to the telly at like 5:30. I got a chance to give him dap and give him a hug. I waited for him a minute. I was kind of a little running late to go to the game. And you know, the crowd was crazy. Yeah. And after the game, I clearly couldn't see him. They were celebrating the championship. I was in the Deer District. He was in the arena. And so, and then he needed to leave this morning. So that's the level of support that I remember him picking us up and taking us and dropping us off and like the sacrifices that he made. But again, I want to know, does this player have the skill set to be in the post, or is he just tall? I remember I had my Magic Johnson moment. Elton Carter gets hurt the night before the state championship. And coach comes to me. He like, we need you to play center tomorrow. He knew what he was doing. Detroit Southwestern was just like Jerry West in the league. We had made it to the state championship 8 or 9 years in a row. And I lost it my sophomore year. So that was like the 8th or 9th time in a row. So my junior year, Elton gets hurt. And I just remember the night before, laying in the bed, shooting the ball in the air, like, tomorrow I'm gonna be magic.
Magic Johnson.
I'm gonna be magic. And I even remember asking him, can I jump center? And you know I can't jump. Now you know, no. I can't jump. No. Right? We could have got a point guard to jump and probably win the tap. You know what I'm saying? I can't jump. And that game propelled Southwestern to its first state championship, a national championship. And I just seen some high school rankings that I posted on IG like 3 or 4 days ago. That Detroit Southwestern team was ranked 7th all time.
Damn.
7th all time. And I remember sending that to coach, and we were talking about all of the great players and the great teams that were on that list. And so I just love the game of basketball. Fortunate I got a chance to cover the finals again. But for the 6'4 guy, I need to know if he got skills to be in the paint, or is he just tall?
We got time for one more voicemail. Don't forget to call 9580JAM. We'll make you part of the show just like this.
What up, J&J? This is J-Rock from the 585. Appreciate the advice. So my now wife and I, we just got married 4th of July weekend. And we were going for a honeymoon. And to me, this question is cultural or regional, or maybe just unique to my family. We were always taught, if you're going to go handle your business number 2 style, never do it in the hotel room. Don't want to think up your own room. My family was taught, you go to like the lobby bathroom of the hotel, somewhere else, never do it in your own room. My wife was looking at me shocked. So am I just different? Is that cultural? Is that regional? Let me know. Shout out Reg and entire staff. Yep, medicinal.
I love our medicinal callers too. I appreciate our sober callers, but the medicinal callers, they just have a little extra oomph to their voicemails.
They always do. And I know that you're the senior analyst to poop on Jalen and Jacoby. But I'm going to start with this one. Is I've never heard of this practice, but I respect it, and I might take it into account. I don't know if it's culture regional, but every lobby has a bathroom. And in the hotel room, the showers are always right there. You know what I mean? You never know when your partner wants to take a shower, and you never want to shower in someone else's deuce funk. So you know what? I like this idea. I like this idea a lot. Go to the lobby bathroom. Take it on the road. I understand his wife's shock, because now she feels like she got to do the same. Y'all are newlyweds. You know what I mean? That she feels like, oh, okay. It's like when your wife works out 7 days a week. It's like, I guess I got to work out 7 days a week too. You know, you're up in the ante for the family. How do you feel about the lobby bathroom instead of the hotel room?
Boss move. Been doing this since the beginning of the time. You got to remember something. Entertainers, performers, and athletes live in hotels more than most of the population. So we have to function in hotels like we're at home. And the only thing you can't really do is cook like you in the kitchen. Everything else you got modifications for, including the bathroom. So if I got people in my hotel room, I ain't about to go blow up the bathroom. Not gonna be able to do it. Hey, you know what? I'm about to go grab some ice. Grab the ice bucket, go downstairs, use the bathroom.
Well, anything. One thing I do like about hotel rooms is they have that little deuce closet. Like, they usually have a door between, like, the sinks and the showers. You know what I mean? So, you got, like, I like the little phone booth bathrooms that they have in hotels. I like those.
Jacoby,
it's kind of like, there's a little barrier there. There's a barrier
David,
there.
David, hit the brakes, Reg.
There's a barrier there, dog. And there's a fan in there and all that.
Where Reg at? You know? Reg still on the show? Hit the brakes, Reg. Reg still work here?
I couldn't hear you. He was in my ear.
Hit the brakes, Reg. Man, tough crowd. I forgot what I was going to even say. Oh.
Good.
The barrier that you're talking, what did you call it again?
A little deuce closet. It's a little closet okay. You can deuce in.
Okay. That doesn't remove the smell.
I understand that, sir. I just appreciate those. Sorry for celebrating the deuce closet. Usually I'm alone in the hotel rooms. You know what I mean? Usually I'm alone. I just like the idea of feel separate. You know? When I'm in a hotel room,
I'm not blowing up the room when I got company, period. I'm just not going to be able to do it. I'm not going to do it. What about somebody coming in your hotel room and blowing it up? Like, I call 911 on them.
Yeah. You need permission.
Like, seriously.
Like if I got
call the police on
boys, like they need to. I need advance warrant. Like, yo, like, yeah. You need to ask to blow my hotel room.
You remember that time during the pandemic? And shout to Nestor who helped us get on the show. And you had an engineer come to your house and he wanted to go to the bathroom and take a deuce.
No. This, you're misremembering the story. The dude, we always had trouble with the internet in my old apartment. Shout to Spectrum being the worst. And this dude came to the crib and he goes, can I use the bathroom? I was like, sure, it's right there. And he didn't deuce, he urinated, but he didn't close the door behind him. So it's just like, I could hear it. And I was just like, yo, like, I don't know. It was like, I felt like it was like some jail stuff. Like, I was getting sunned. I was like,
too comfy.
Yo, close the door behind you, dude. Like,
he's way too comfy. But you were too nice, because I would have told him no.
Why I gotta listen to your stream?
Yeah. I would have told him no.
Oh no, I'm trying to get the right internet, man. I was desperate.
Do the internet, but you just can't use my bathroom.
Oh, you can use my bathroom.
Hey, Jacob, I was, and by the way, like, it is what it is. I had a driver taking me from Phoenix to Vegas so I could go support Mariah on her 21st birthday and also see my little brother, Big Sean. Shout to Draymond Green. They were both really gracious to her on her birthday. And my driver, he admitted to me that he was having some problems with his bladder or whatever. But then I was talking to him and I was like, but I'm seeing you crushing these bottles of water. So that means you're gonna have to keep going to the bathroom. And he didn't want to keep stopping because he had just stopped maybe 15 minutes before. So we had got off the freeway in Vegas and he was about to make one of those left-hand turns, but the line was kind of long and he was really shivering like he had to go. He was about to open up the door and get out. So I had a quick trip cup and it was a couple of extra ones on it. And I just gave him the quick trip cup. And I'm like, you can just go right there in the cup. You don't have to get outside and walk out. Like, that's all bad. You about to leave me sitting in the car in the backseat at a light. People going to be honking at me and that. You ain't doing that to me. You ain't abandoning me in the car, dog. I'm gonna get out too.
I love this story. I had a driver from Bristol to New York, you know, because we did that overnight show one time, don't know if you remember. There's like the fantasy marathon or whatever. So like we ended at like 5 a.m. I was like, I'm not driving back. I need someone to drive me, right? So this dude gets in the car and I go to sleep. And we wake up on the West Side Highway and there's mad traffic. And he's just like shifting around crazy. Like I just woke up. I didn't really know what I was getting into. Shifting around crazy, looking all nuts. Like it's just nonstop movement. It was wild. It was like he had like bugs crawling all over him. And I was like, my man, are you all right? And he's like, I know this is a professional. That's really after he's in the bathroom. I was like, do whatever you got to do. Like, he's like, no, I can't. I was like, do whatever you got to do, my guy. And then finally, he got pulled over for making like a illegal turn or something. He was looking all crazy. And he used to be a cop. So he told the officer he used to be a cop. And, you know, the other cop was like, go ahead, cop. You know, the cops go. And then finally I told him, I was like, you can go in this restaurant. He goes into this restaurant right by where I was getting dropped off. And I swear to God, I know he was just urinating. He took like 15 minutes. I don't know what this guy's problem was. Man, if you ever need bathroom breakdowns, you know the right pod to come to. We'll be back tomorrow. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
We're not done. We are not done. Got to give the people.